Who is Jesus, the true vine? We read in John chapter 15, verse 1 and 5, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. It is delightful during the summer or fall to walk through a vineyard. The leaves are green, and the huge clusters of grapes are hanging on the branches. Can you visualize this figure in your mind? And of course, afterwards, you get to taste the good wine that is produced by these vines. This figure was a common one to see in the land of Israel. And in Scripture, Israel as a nation is referred to as a vine planted by God. Psalm 80, verses 8 through 11. When Jesus calls himself the vine, he is drawing a beautiful picture of himself with his church. Jesus is one plant with his people. Jesus is the vine, and his people are the branches. There is an intimate connection. We are united to Jesus by faith. Jesus could make this comparison because God created the world in such a way that it could point to spiritual truths. So the physical vine is a picture of Jesus and his church. Israel in the Old Testament was a picture of Christ. Jesus now says, I am the true vine. The other vines were symbols, but Christ is the perfect fulfillment. Israel as a nation failed to produce good fruit. Jesus came to be the perfect, essential, enduring vine of which the others were only a faint reflection. The vine, with its roots planted in the soil, is a source of life for the branches and the fruit that is produced. Jesus is the source of all our life for his church. He gives strength to the church and causes her to be productive to his glory. God grants to his church all the blessings of salvation. As with a physical vine, the branches have nothing if they're cut off from the vine. They have to be connected. How are they connected? Well, there is a farmer called a vine dresser. John 15, verse 1 refers to the husbandman. It is he that plants the vine. It is he who cares for the vine. He prunes the vine, the branches, and grafts other branches into the vine. The branches draw their life from the vine. Jesus' Father in heaven gave Jesus to be the life for his people. We depend upon Jesus for our spiritual life, vitality, nutrition, and salvation. We depend upon Jesus just as the branch depends upon the vine for everything. Without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. In Christ, we receive grace, forgiveness, righteousness, and eternal life. How is Jesus this life-providing vine? The answer is first found in the I am statement. Jesus is the true vine, the source of life, strength, and salvation to his church because he is God. God is the source of all that we need. Jesus, secondly, is this vine because God planted his son Jesus here in our world. Jesus came in the likeness of men, in the likeness of our flesh as a lowly vine. He bore our sin and our guilt and our death. but by his resurrection he gives life to us, making us living branches. Thirdly, there is in the figure of the vine wonderful fruit. Jesus stresses this in our passage. Jesus is the one who causes the branches to bear fruit. How disappointing it would be if we walked through a vineyard and there was absolutely no fruit, or only sickly fruit. 6 times Jesus mentions bearing fruit or not bearing fruit. Everything depends upon the branches being connected to the vine. Everything depends upon our being connected to Jesus. Jesus is the only power, and he enables his people to produce fruit. That's why Jesus said in verse 3, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Jesus cleanses us and enables us to bring forth good fruit. Of ourselves, all that we can produce is sin and evil. The only reason that you and I are able to bear any fruit that is pleasing to God is because we're connected to Jesus. He is the source. He is our strength. He is our life. All our strength to do good is in Jesus. So what is that fruit that is produced? As I said, fruit bearing is mentioned 6 times. In John 11, verses 1 through 8. That makes it rather important. The fruit is the fruit of faith. It is a live, active faith. It's not merely saying, "I'm a Christian," or "I belong to a church." It's not just a matter of words. Well, it is words. It is confessing Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, publicly, boldly, without shame. But faith is also a life lived for Jesus. It is a life lived in obedience to his word and his commandments. It's a godly life of clean speech, pure action, love for God and love for our neighbors. Our life will stand out sharply over against the lives of other people in the world who live for themselves or who live for sin and live for the devil. We will imitate the life and the person of Jesus. No fault could be found in him. His word was truth. Oh, the fruit that Jesus produces in us is a holy life. It is daily sorrow for our sins, turning away from those sins. We call that conversion. It is putting away anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of our mouths, not lying to one another, Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. And instead of those, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, we put on kindness, gentleness, humility, meekness, forgiving one another, and loving one another. How important is that fruit? What does God, the vine dresser, do? Jesus says that every branch that does not bear fruit, God takes away. Those are the hypocrites in the church who pretend to be Christians. They are branches in that they belong to the church. They might confess Jesus with their mouth, but they produce no fruit. Because they bear no fruit, the Father cuts them off. They have no connection to Jesus. That was the case with one of Jesus' disciples. He was part of the group that followed Jesus, but he was a thief and he betrayed Jesus. Judas was cast out. But even true believers who are in Jesus Christ need the pruning of the vine dresser. They are real Christians who love Jesus and live a holy life, but because we are still sinful and so weak, even our best works are tainted with sin. So the Father, the husbandman, works on us, and he cuts out the actions that flow from our sinfulness. He purges our hearts and lives so that we will be more holy and more obedient. How does God do it? He prunes us with his word, the preaching of the gospel. He prunes us sometimes with afflictions, with trouble, with pain, with sickness. And no, this is not pleasant. It's hurtful. It's painful. But it is as necessary as the surgeon's knife that cuts out a diseased part of the body. What an important work of God in our lives, making us more productive. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus is speaking here to his disciples, saved men. They were in Christ. Jesus is saying to them and to us, remain in me. Don't sever yourself from me. Look to me and depend upon me. Why does Jesus say this? A true branch cannot be severed from Jesus the vine. If not, why is there this warning? The answer is that by our experience, we cut ourselves off from Jesus. It's so easy for us to think that once we're saved, we can make it on our own without Jesus. We think often that we are strong and we can be fruitful without staying in close fellowship with Christ. How do we do that? We stop praying, or we stop reading God's word. We don't go to worship services to hear the preaching of the word. We cannot produce good works without staying or abiding in Jesus. So Jesus calls us to abide in him. What is involved in abiding in Jesus? Jesus makes a wonderful promise in verse 5. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus abides always with us. But how do we abide in him? In verse 7, Jesus says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Do you see the connection? It is by the power of his word that we are saved, and it is by the power of that word that we abide in Jesus and he in us. Do you keep up with your devotions and Bible study? Do you faithfully attend a good church where the preaching of the gospel is emphasized? Let Christ's word abide in you, that he may abide in you. Then we will be branches, not scrawny branches, but vibrant branches, bearing much fruit to God's glory.